Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and this is the 291st episode of Travel Itch Radio. Every Thursday night at 8 Eastern, we bring you exciting and often exotic guests from the world of travel, both foreign and domestic. We visit with hoteliers, airline executives, authors, photographers, publicists, and others in the travel world. And our guest tonight is travel journalist Tara Nurin. Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, Tara.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you for taking the time to do our show. You're really into beer, spirits, and restaurants, things we all enjoy. But what caught my eye in your resume was something called Two Chicks for Chocolate. What is that all about?
That's right. I wish I had been the creative inspiration behind that name. Two Chicks with Chocolate is a chocolate company, artisanal chocolate company that my friend owns. She's got a couple boutiques, very nice boutiques around Central Jersey. Her stuff is beautiful. And for a while, I was doing weekly beer and chocolate pairing classes for her, and we would do them all over Central Jersey. We're on hiatus right now, but at the time, as far as I know, we were the only regularly scheduled beer and chocolate pairing classes in the country, if not the world. So that was a little bit of a point of pride. And, you know, we're always looking to get back together and do more beer and chocolate pairings. So have you ever done a beer and chocolate pairing?
Well, I'm into chocolate, but not so much into beer. So one out of two ain't bad. 500 batting average, right?
That's right. Well, part of our idea is to try to teach people about beer through chocolate. And every time anybody comes to class, they leave shocked, especially if they don't like beer. So we'll have to get you into a class at some point when we get them going again.
Okay. I'm sure I've eaten hot dogs that were steamed in beer, so that probably counts for something, right?
There you go. It counts for something.
Okay. And you're the co-founder of Ferment Your Event. What is it, where is it, and how often is it held?
Well, it's not anything that's regularly scheduled like our beer and chocolate pairing classes were, but my ex-fiance and I, we still get along very well, so we still do this together. We started this company called Ferment Your Event, and it's really to bring fun and educational beer events to anybody who wants them. So we've run beer dinners at somebody's house for 10 people. We have stood in the lobby of a fancy hotel and done beer pairings and education for anybody who's walked by. We can travel and do a bachelorette party. So it's really anything that anybody wants to do with beer that they don't want to necessarily run themselves. So any kind of pairings, education, fun, dinners will come wherever you're having your event and run it for you.
And we both write for Forbes.com, Tara. I write baseball and you write beer and spirits. Could you share with our listening audience some of your recent topics?
Well, I've just written three this week, just to get them in by the end of the month. So I thought it would be kind of interesting to talk about those. So this week I wrote a story about a program based here in New Jersey called Arms to Artisans, and a woman named Tori Fisher, who's a combat vet who owns Backward Flag Brewing near Toms River, has started the foundation, and it's to transition returning post-9/11 vets into artisanal careers, starting with brewing, and then eventually she wants to branch out into cider, coffee, surfboard making, anything like that. Story to write. I kind of cried when I wrote it, to be honest with you. Tomorrow I'll be posting a story about a brewery in Vermont that has been around for about 25 years. It's using some very surprising and actually, Dan, some very aggressive messaging to promote its newest beer. So I take a look at why a brewery would want to basically attack its critics very publicly in its messaging in order to promote itself. So that's kind of fun, too. That'll post tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's great. And we also both write for USA Today. I just finished up the lead story for the Hall of Fame induction preview issue of USA
Nice.
Today Sports Weekly for the fifth straight year. What have you written for the paper?
Well, I was really proud that I wrote almost all or all of a Philly insert, like a Guide to Philly insert that came out with the Sunday paper here locally a couple years ago. I think I pretty much framed the cover and hung that on my wall. And that talked about neighborhoods, things to do in Philly. It was full color. That was a lot of fun. And something else that I did that got a lot of attention was I ran a poll that asked the public to vote for its favorite brewery tasting room. So I picked 20 breweries that had really popular on innovative tasting rooms, and then we put it out to a vote, and then we ranked the 10 in order. And that got so much publicity that I went and visited Boston Beer for the first time while that contest was running. And I walk into the tasting room, and Boston Beer is a big deal, right? You know, it's on TV, they have commercials, blah, blah, blah. And there was a kind of 10-foot promotion that they had produced trying to get people to vote for them as the best tap room. And so we saw that, and I was like, hey, that's me. I did that. I'm the reason you're on it. And everyone who worked there got all excited, and we took a million pictures. So that was fun. The other thing that stands out was this series on chocolate that I wrote. I wrote about really cool tours that you can take around the world of different places that make really high-end chocolate. Again, I looked at how you can pair chocolate with beer, et cetera. So that was a fun gig for a couple of years.
I know that my friend Tony Mua here in Brooklyn just launched a chocolate tour. He had a pizza tour, and now he's got a Brooklyn chocolate tour. So I hope that was included in your article. If not, it's something else you can do.
I will look into it. I'm actually going to be in Brooklyn on Sunday, so maybe I'll go check it out.
Okay. I don't think he runs it on weekends. I think it's only during the week because the chocolate places are so busy on the weekend that they can't accommodate a tour group.
All right. Well, I'll look into it.
Anyway,
I'm always looking to learn more about it.
Okay, good. We're talking with beer and spirits expert Tara Nurin. Where can we catch What's on Tap, your work as a radio host?
Yes, so I co-host a radio show called What's on Tap. Sometimes we're on TV, sometimes it's radio. We tend to go back and forth. Right now we're radio primarily. We broadcast live every Saturday from 1 to 2. And if you're in South Jersey, you can listen on 99.9 FM and 1240 AM. If you're not in South Jersey, you can hear it on SoundCloud. There's an FNJ Today app. And right after we get off air, we put the show up as a podcast. And there are several different platforms where you can listen to it. But the primary ones are iTunes, if you've got an iPhone, and Google Play, if you don't. And actually, real quick, just to talk about what it is. Sorry to cut you off. It's primarily, as long as we're promoting it, I may as well say what it's about. It's primarily a beer show, but we also bring on lots of distillers, chefs. Sometimes we've got celebrities, some of the top beer people like Sam Calagione, owner of Dogfish Head, Garrett Oliver, who's the brewmaster from Brooklyn Brewery. So it's a lot of fun. We have a good time. We drink a lot of beer on the show.
And you try to stay sober.
Yes, and we have to stay sober. And actually incorporating travel into it real quick, I do travel a lot for my job, so I am very frequently calling in for my various destinations because I can't be there in the studio. So like a week or two ago, I called in from Aspen from the Food and Wine Classic. So there is a lot of travel that I bring to the show.
Okay, you mentioned your job, which is what?
Well, I'm aside from the things we talked about at the beginning, and aside from being the radio host, I am a freelance journalist specializing in beer, spirit, travel, and food. And I love when I can intersect all of them, bring in like how beer relates to tourism, relates to economic development. I love that. I find it so interesting and important for different economies too. But my primary gig is, as you mentioned, beer and spirits contributor to Forbes. And then I also write for publications like Food and Wine, Vice Munchies, Fine Pair, Philadelphia Inquirer, and I'm really hoping for the New York Times this year. So if you've got any connections, feel free to put in a good word.
Well, balancing travel time, writing time, and family time is difficult for any freelance travel writer, including me. But you've been doing it for so long that you must have a special formula that works. Could you tell us what it is?
Oh, I wish I had a special formula that works. Honestly, I would love to tell you what it is if I had it. You know, it's honestly a constant struggle. I'm trying all the time to figure out how to make sure that I can do the travel that I need to do and make sure I get the writing done at the same time, because as you know, if we don't actually produce, we don't get any money. I mean, these trips are fun, but you know, they only go so far. So, I mean, I can tell you, I have a friend who's really prolific. I'm always very impressed with him because he, no matter how much he's partaken or partied the night before, how late he stayed up, he wakes up at like 6 o'clock every morning, no matter where he is, and he writes his stories. I can't do that. I'm not a morning person, but I will say I do try to write like whenever I've got a bus ride, a plane ride, a train ride. I try to squeeze it in wherever I can. And then when I'm home, I live by a schedule. That has definitely helped me. Sometimes I'm scheduled out to the 15-minute mark literally for months time. And obviously it changes as I go, but at least I have a sense of like, okay, well, I've got this deadline on this date and I know that I will have these 2 days the prior week to write it. It keeps me from freaking out. You know,
I totally understand. Well, people say getting there is half the fun, Tara, but has flying become more of a hassle than a pleasure?
You know, it doesn't really bother me anymore. I've gotten used to these post 9/11 precautions that I spent many years thinking were silly, but I got to be honest, I mean, nothing else has happened, knock on wood, since then. So I guess there's a purpose for them. So, I mean, obviously I try to be smart when traveling and incorporate little things I've learned. One thing that has helped that I didn't realize until not too long ago was that I've accumulated a lot of miles on American Airlines. Like, I used to just book flights on whatever airline was cheapest at that time. But I've realized that by flying one particular airline as much as possible, you really do get a ton of perks. Like, I get to bump the line, the security line. I get to get seated early. I get automatic upgrades to better classes of travel if they're available. So I would really recommend trying to stick with one airline as much as possible if you can. The other thing that has helped me is I use Outlook for my don't need to be online when I'm emailing. So, you know, sometimes you travel and they'll charge you $25 for a couple hours worth of Wi-Fi. Whenever I can, I don't buy the Wi-Fi. I just use that time to catch up on emails, and I work offline, and I, you know, reply to 37 emails, and then when I get to my hotel or whatever, I'll connect with the Wi-Fi there and hit send, and I feel very accomplished doing that.
Oh, that's really good. I want to tell our listeners that you're listening to Travelitz Radio with Dan Schlossberg. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travelitz Radio on Facebook. We're also on iTunes. And we're talking with beer and spirits expert Tara Nuren. Tara, for someone who travels so much, I'm sure you have favorites. Best destination, best hotel, best airline, best restaurant. Please share with our Travelitz Radio listeners.
Well, you know, I'm really fortunate. I am usually able to enjoy anywhere I go, even if there's some, you know, inconveniences. Ultimately, I do like everywhere. So I can't say I have a favorite destination, but I'm super into Sonoma County right now. My best friend lives in Santa Rosa, which is kind of the capital of Sonoma County. And so I've gotten to spend a lot of time out there in the past year or two. And I mean, it's the home of not only some of the best wineries in the world, but some of the very, very best breweries in the world. It's gorgeous. You've got mountains. You're not far from San Francisco. You're right by Napa. There's tons of stuff to do on the ocean. And what people don't tend to realize about, you know, they had those horrible wildfires last October, but a lot of what ended up burning was, you know, not that we should be happy that anything burned, but a lot of what ended up burning down was residential stuff. you know, a lot of housing and a lot of services that tourists wouldn't necessarily need to patronize. So every single winery but one is still up and running. Every single brewery, every single distillery, none of them were really touched. So it's a great time to travel out there, and they really, really need the tourism, because the media, we did such a good job talking about how bad the wildfires were. We really scared a lot of tourists away, and they need us to come back.
Glad you said that.
Yeah, thank you. And I do have a hotel chain that I'm obsessed with. Have you ever been to the McMenamins chain in the Pacific Northwest?
No.
People on the East Coast don't tend to know about it. It's the greatest thing ever. Two brothers started it back in the 80s, and what they do usually, sometimes they build from the ground up, but usually they'll buy like an old abandoned school or like a, honestly, like a prison that's no longer in use, and they'll turn them into hotels, wineries, breweries, distilleries, theaters, pools, spas, restaurants, and they are so quirky. Every one of them has like the weirdest artwork, and I was at one of them once, and there was like, oh, what kind of animal was it? There was like a donkey with a rainbow unicorn horn just standing around the fire pit like nothing. It was Portland. Keep Portland weird. So they're just funky little artsy places. They're so much fun, and they've got like 80 some of them, if I'm not mistaken, around Washington and Oregon, and it's just, there's no place like it that I've ever seen in the world, and they have these little teeny bars everywhere that are that like 2 to 4 people, and they have the best selections of cocktails and beers, so you're like huddled in this teeny room with a full bar, full-time bartender, and you're like, this is the coolest place I've ever been in my life.
Okay. Could you spell the name of it?
Sure. It's McMenamins. So it's McMenamins. Did you get that?
I got it. I wrote it down.
Okay.
And I'm also sure you have least favorite places. Are there places you would have, excuse me.
Ooh.
Are there places you would avoid, like the plague, places you would never go back to?
Well, I never got used to living in Delaware. I don't like Delaware. Yeah, but everybody's really uptight in Delaware. I don't know. I didn't have a very good experience there. You know, as far as travel goes, I really can't think of a single place I just wouldn't go back to. Because like I said, like there's something, you can find something cool everywhere. Like even I was producing a documentary a couple years ago in anthracite coal country in Pennsylvania, and that's not pretty. It's kind of destitute. The economy is abysmal, and yet we'd go back there over and over, and, you know, that wasn't vacation, but it was still travel. It's a couple hours away. We'd spend the night, and, you know, just talking to the people there just gave me such a different outlook, so I can't think of anywhere other than maybe Delaware to steer your listeners away from, to be honest. You just have to embrace
okay.
what you
have
got.
Have you won recognition for your work, Tara?
Yeah, I've won some awards. Thanks for asking. In 2012, the Wine School of Philadelphia held a public contest to choose the best food and drink writer in Philadelphia, and I won that, which was a huge honor. I won a lot of wine and a free 8-week wine class, so I should be a sommelier by now, but I never took the second part of the test, so I'm embarrassed about that. I won some awards from the Society of Professional Journalists, and the one I'm really waiting for, and maybe somebody on the committee is listening, I have not yet won an award from the North American Guild of Beer Writers, and I'm getting a little surly about it.
Okay. And North American Travel Journalists Association also has a contest, which I'm very heavily involved in soliciting prizes, so it might be something that you want to look into as well. It's natja.org.
Yes,
anyway,
I
Tara,
think,
winning prizes means... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yes, I'm looking toward that for next year, so thank you for reminding me.
Okay. Winning prizes means picking pieces you think are your best and submitting them. So looking back, what are some of the favorite things you've written?
You know, I think the story, well, it was a two-part series that I might be proudest of, was exploring the history of women in beer. And it's something that people in the beer world do tend to know about now, but a couple years ago when I wrote it, people didn't realize how prominent and critical to beer making women have been throughout the world and throughout history. So I got to break that down a little bit, and I still see people tweet about it this many years later. So that was cool. And then more recently, I went to the country of Colombia in the fall and spent most of my time in Bogota, but we also got out of the city a little bit. And I wrote two stories for Food and Wine from there that I was proud of, not because they were like groundbreaking or just so amazingly written or anything, but I felt like they were kind of important stories to tell in that one of them looked at coffee in Colombia and how until really recently you couldn't get decent coffee in Colombia because all the good stuff got exported, and now you're starting to be able to go to some coffee shops in Colombia and have the coffee that you expect to drink when you go to Colombia. And then the other one was a profile of this young female chef a couple hours outside of Bogota who was really transforming the way Colombians view their indigenous cuisine. And so that was also an economic story intersected with a travel story, intersected with a story about women, intersected with a story about food. And that's kind of my sweet spot when you can combine all those things. So that was a good one, too.
Okay, and we're talking with award-winning beer and spirits writer Tara Nuren. Tara, I can relate to this next question. How hard is it for you to work at home, and do you have your own office where you can barricade yourself in and work in peace and quiet?
Yes, but I don't use it, and I've been telling myself for about 10 years that I need to use it. I built an office in my basement, and I've got some barrier to going down there and working, so I sit at my kitchen counter. I stare at the refrigerator all day. I eat endlessly. and I was a TV reporter for a long time, so I'm used to working in newsrooms. So I missed a plane once because I was sitting at the gate working, and I didn't even notice that they'd called the whole flight and I wasn't on it. So
wow.
I sit in my kitchen, and I rent two of my rooms out to borders, and I tell them whenever they start renting with me, I'm like, I'm going to sit in the kitchen. I'm sorry, that's probably annoying, but I'm going to tell you, do whatever you want. You can make as much noise. You can talk on the phone. You can light yourself on fire in front of me, and I'll be fine. I'll keep working, but don't talk to me. That is my only rule, because if you talk to me, then I have to look up from my work and be polite and pretend to care about the conversation and actually respond to you. So I'm pretty good, you know, being out anywhere working, as long as people aren't, you know, trying to engage me directly.
I think I agree with that too, pretty much, because I used to work for the AP, Associated Press, and there were lots of other reporters around, and as long as nobody was talking to me directly, I was fine. Anyway,
right?
I want to ask
exactly.
You, Tara, who is the most influential person in your professional life? In other words, who helped you the most along the way?
You know, that's a really interesting question. At first, three people come to mind, and they're going to laugh when I say them because they could be listening. One is my radio co-host, Gary Monteroso. He's been a great beer writing mentor for me for almost 10 years now. So encouraging. Lou Bryson is a prominent Philly area beer and whiskey writer, and he's so great in that I can always turn to him and ask an ethical question, a grammar question, a style question, and then this guy will definitely laugh when he hears that I say this. Have you ever had John Hall on your show?
No, I haven't, but the name sounds very familiar.
He is also a very prominent beer writer. He's based in New Jersey, but he's been editor of several of the top beer magazines. He's, you know, all of them started as, well, Lou and John started as journalists and then went into beer. And John and I have these really intense ethical conversations about what it means to be a beer journalist and what's okay to and not okay to do ethically. And so he like kind of scares me to death because he takes sort of a more traditional old school approach than I do. And so whenever I have to make an ethical decision about my work, he's like sitting on my shoulder, you know, like the angel and devil. And I think, okay, well, here's what I would do. What would John do? So he's kind of guided a lot of my decisions in the past couple of years. But I think it wouldn't be entirely accurate to leave out, and this is funny too, three of my ex-boyfriends have really, really helped me along the way. I've been lucky to have boyfriends who have taken a lot of interest in my career development along the way. And so these three in particular had always been like very encouraging, helped me get jobs when they had connections that allowed for it. And also, like, when I was younger and not so confident in my writing, I liked to have somebody look at my work before I would submit it. I don't do that anymore, but, and these three were always great at, like, making me feel confident that what I was submitting was, you know, was tight, was at the level it should be. And so I owe them a lot.
Okay, that's well said. Tara, you're from Annapolis, but you live in South Jersey near Philadelphia. Are both areas among your favorite places to write about?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think I've ever written about Annapolis, even though I would love to. And actually, I think I'd be remiss in not saying that the paper, the newspaper where there was the shooting today, is my hometown newspaper. So that affected me kind of deeply. There's a lot of great stuff to write about in Annapolis, lots of tourism, lots of fun things, but no, I need to make more of an effort in that. And then I live in Camden, and so there's always a lot to write about in Camden. And yeah, I have done a lot of writing about Camden, less tourism really, because it doesn't have a great tourism industry yet, but a lot of political writing about Camden that I think, or at least I hope, has helped some people see the city as it is instead of like how the rest of the media tends to portray it, which is quite negatively.
And of course it has Campbell's soup.
Right. And other cool stuff too.
I know that from,
but
okay. I know that from a long time ago. Anyway, is there anything we haven't asked that you'd like to add?
Well, let's see. I mean, yes, actually, there is. You know, and this is very apropos because it's a travel show. I grew up traveling. My parents took me everywhere, starting from when I was 4 months old. That was my first flight. It was a Pan Am flight. We went to Puerto Rico, and we went to Puerto Rico every year following. We went to Europe a lot, and a lot of people travel with their kids for various reasons. And I understand that it's probably a pain, but it has shaped who I am so much to have been exposed to, you know, having to navigate your way through places where you don't speak the language, meeting different people. You know, we would always do as much local culture stuff as we could, so we'd eat in, like, the local places. And I really feel like a more intellectually curious and well-rounded and tolerant person because of it. So
okay.
I'd say that it's
okay. Okay. And really quickly, we're running out of time. So do you have a website? Where can people find your work?
Yes. Thank you. It's my name, taranurin.com. So TaraNurin.com.
Okay. And special thanks to Tara Nurin for joining us tonight on Travel Itch Radio. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch. Join us next week, same time, same station. Our guest will be Lebanon-based journalist Alexandra Talti. Watch our Facebook page for announcements. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.